I said, when God's word becomes your word, everything is possible. The men of valor are preparing to put notes in your hands. They're going to be bringing in the board, and I'll ask for your cooperation. And I know many of you are thinking about munchies and lunch and all that, but put that out of your head for a minute. My niece and great niece are here today, so we're probably going to have to go find some barbecue. But if I can wait, you can wait. I thought about that a moment ago. My niece, my great niece, and then her children are my great great. And I got the feeling so old, I said, I don't know if I can preach today. Whoa. When you have great great. The first message today, I trust you're listening very closely. The second message is powerful. Wednesday night, as Brother Brian was preparing to minister, it was before church, and I just felt compelled to read the Acts. So I began reading the Acts, and I got to the third chapter, and God just exploded something in me that, Holly, I should have seen a long time ago, but it just never took on that meaning. But Scott, once I saw it, I can't forget it now. So that'll be the second message. The first message, the Lord reminded me yesterday of a verse of Scripture that God loves a cheerful giver. Now, a lot of people do not understand that, but the reason you're cheerful is when you're giving, you're like the farmer putting that seed in the ground. You can already see that stalk of corn coming up and all the kernels of corn and cobs of corn that will be there. Because when you invest that kernel in the ground, knowing that's good ground, you can already see the crop. You're making room for it. A gentleman was over at my house yesterday, and he had gotten called in on Saturday for the construction company he works for. And he got to my house, and there were a number of things that he had obligated himself to do, and he kept telling me, I am just so wore out. He said, I'm just tired. I'm not used to putting in these hours. But he likes the money. And he was working, and Tommy said, I've got to sit down. I need something cold to drink. And while he was sitting there, he mentioned a piece of equipment that he needed for his construction work and then for his part-time job. And I said, well, I've got one that has only been taken out of the box one time. I used it once, and so it's practically brand new. It's only been used once on one job. And I said, if you'll do this and this and this, I'll just give it to you. Because what I asked him to do was worth about half of what the piece of equipment is worth. All of a sudden, he was filled with energy. I can do that right now. I can get all that done today. Can I pick it up today? And the Lord said, that is how I love a cheerful giver. Because he's sitting there telling you how tired he is, how wore out he is, but for the joy set before him of having the piece of equipment that he can't afford to buy. So for the joy, Roger, that's set before me, to have the healing I can't afford. Scott, to have the provision of God's abundance that I can't work hard enough to get. I learned a long time ago to honor God with the tithe and the offering. I never pay tithes. I return to God that which is his, because if it's a bill that I owe, then it's my money and not his. But when I return the tithe to him, I'm saying, I recognize it's all yours, God. You're just letting me have my 90% of your 100%. So I return the first tenth to you. And church, once I learn to be joyful in my giving, expecting that every time I give, it's coming back to me, I've learned I can't outgive God. God continually does exceeding abundant, above and beyond all that I can ask or comprehend. And when I watch what God has done for me and the place He has brought me to, well, Pastor, you've got a good job, you've got a good salary. I ain't been paid in 2 years. And yet, my God supplies all my need and I have abundance to share. And the real thing I want you to get today is, do you get excited about giving to God and to other people? Do you get excited about returning that first tenth to God, knowing this is just a seed I'm planting to get a crop in my life for the joy that's set before you? God loves a cheerful giver, because that's not one that's saying, man, I could pay the rent if I didn't have to give this money to God. No, they're saying, I'll always have my rent paid because I return to God that which is His. Now, you've got the notes in your hand, and before we get to them, I want you to... I don't have a scribe yet. I could use one. But let's say I go, Judith, I want you to have this. And I give it to her. It then becomes her what?
Possession.
Her possession. She has... What's some other words that describe that? Title deed is kind of, yeah, it's kind of in there.
Control.
Anyone else?
Custody.
Did I hear someone say something?
Stewardship.
Now we're getting somewhere. Stewardship. Now that we got that one, we can go on. Grab your notes. Get ready to make notes on your notes. If the spirit of preach comes on John, y'all hold him back until I'm finished. There'll be a meeting of ministers of the body tonight at 6 o'clock, getting into some good things. You're all familiar with Acts chapter 3. When Peter and John are going up to the temple, they are fresh in the ministry. They're newbies. They're just getting their spiritual legs in the ministry. And as they're going up to the temple, they come to the gate, beautiful, and there's a cripple. And the cripple requests of them the currency of the world system. A lot of idiots have made a doctrine out of Peter saying, silver and gold have I none. We don't have any silver. We don't have any gold. Hun, I can weigh my gold on the bathroom scales. I don't measure it in grams. I measure it in pounds. I collect gold. I collect silver. I collect firearms. I collect jewelry. I like the good things in life. God in the very beginning said, Adam, the gold is over here in Ophar and it's good. Yeah. So don't tell me gold is bad, because God said gold is good. Now then, since I've lost 100 pounds, a lot of the jewelry I used to wear, I put it on right and it just falls off. But I'm coming back.
Amen.
And pretty soon you'll see me wearing lots of gold. I used to wear, you know, $12,000 to $20,000 worth of gold all the time. You say, Pastor, that sounds braggadocious. It is. My God not only supplies all my need, Raymond, He supplies my wants. There's a jewelry store in St. Thomas that Lou and I went into, and they had some gorgeous jewelry there. And I saw a ring I liked. Then I saw the movie... my wife's watched it 81 times now. Count of Monte Cristo. And I saw a ring on his hand, and I said, It's a big stone circle of diamonds. And I said, I want that. Well, I happened to be doing a men's meeting in Florida, and there's a guy sitting there, and he's got the very ring on from St. Thomas that I like. I know it's a $5,000 ring. It's not real expensive, but it's beautiful. And I love that big stone with the diamonds around it. I said, Daddy, I'd like to have one like that, talking to God. It's in my jewelry box now. That very ring, and it, I didn't pay a cent for it. It was given to me. I didn't ask anybody. I didn't tell anybody on earth, just Daddy. Daddy will take care of you when you begin to be what? Joyful about engaging his system of reward. When you become joyful about engaging his system of reward, you'll always be rewarded. So I can boldly tell you, I'll never be broke another day in my life. I'll never be broke another day in my life. My God supplies all my needs. Now, if I don't have it today, I'll have it very soon, because the more I honor God, not just at church when it's offering time and returning the tithe to God time, but during the week when God says, give that person $20. I give him $20. God says, buy them a car. I buy them a car. God says, take them to the store and let them pick out a new suit and pay for it. I figure if I'm going to get a return on a new suit, I said, get a shirt and tie to go with it while you're getting that suit. But Pastor, what if they're not grateful? I can tell you most of the time they're not. Once in a while they are. Most of the time they're like, well, you could have bought me two. Lou and I provided a house for someone once. It was a nice house. And the wife is over at our house one day, and she says, we were out looking at houses and named a fancy neighborhood. And I thought to myself, why couldn't Jim have bought us one of these houses? And I was like, you'll never see another house. Church, you can get to the point where things that you think today is impossible are in your repertoire. But it begins with that attitude of joyful expectancy that I'm putting this seed in God's ground, and it's coming back to me pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Amen. And I can tell you, it works. Yes. Recently, Lou and I gave away our 23rd automobile that we've given to people. I can remember when I was praying to God for one for me. It's much more fun to give them away than it is to pray that you get one. Become joyful about honoring God. It will turn your finances completely around. Not overnight. Because it has to become a lifestyle, not something you're trying to see if it works. Because if you're trying it to see it works, you're in doubt and unbelief and it won't work. You do it because God said it works. Anyway, Peter and John are going up to the temple, and the beggar looks at him and says, I want the world's currency. Now, you know it doesn't say that specifically, but that's exactly what he's saying. I want the world's currency. Now then, Peter and John are not destitute. Gail, they've been over 3 years without working for a living. Now, they all had families. If you read the scriptures, you'll learn that Paul was married. I've heard that taught a lot of my life by people, that Paul was a bachelor, never married. That's not what he said. He said, I know how. You find out that Peter was married. How do you know? Because it said his mother-in-law was sick. Now, I've only found in life one way to get a mother-in-law. It's kind of a package deal. It comes with the wife. But if he had a mother-in-law, he had a... We know that Paul had brothers and sisters because his nephew came to visit him in jail. But a lot of people never read the scriptures. They read over the scriptures. And so they don't learn these things. And I've had people who were doctors in theology, and I would talk about Paul being married, and they would go, "I've never heard such a thing. Can you read? It's in the scripture." When the scripture tells you something about a person, it doesn't have to say he was married and had kids. If it tells you he was this, he was married. If it tells you he had a mother-in-law, he was married. All of these things you learn, and the scripture becomes real to you, and then when somebody comes by blabbing garbage, you just go, psst. Because most of the stuff taught in religion isn't even in the book. Or is a highly modified version of something that was just suggested in scripture. But this man, and I want you to get this, says, "I want the currency of the world system." And Peter says, "Silver and gold, I'm not packing at the moment. I came to church, I'm traveling light. But such as I have, give I thee." Now, I rewrote that verse, "But such as I have, I give to you. Not the wealth of the world system, but the dominion of the kingdom of God system." We started with this word here. The Lord said, "These signs will follow them that believe." He said, "Peter, James, John, all you dudes, get this. The works that I do shall you do, and greater, and all of those who become disciples of my teaching." Are you a disciple of the teachings of Christ?
Yes.
Then you're deputized. And it became apparent to Peter that I have possession of the authority to heal the sick. I have ownership of the right to heal the sick. I have the title deed to health. I control. I can give to whom I will. I have custody from God of the power of the Holy Spirit. I am in stewardship of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said, "Derek, greater works than I do shall you do. These signs shall follow them that believe." Mark chapter 16. Do you believe? Then these signs should follow you. And the Lord said, "Do you have ownership of the anointing?" When I was reading this passage, and I stopped and I went, I don't know that I've ever really looked at it that way, Rudy. But as a born-again child of God, a disciple of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have ownership of the anointing of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now then, maybe you never stopped to ponder that, but I want you to take a moment and I want you to say this with me.
I have.
Ownership. Possession, stewardship of the anointing of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It belongs to me. I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me with divine ability. So, at this moment, Peter is standing there. And this guy's asking, "Give me the world's currency." And he says, "I'm going to kick that up a notch, and I'm going to give you the kingdom currency. The anointing that destroys every yoke. The power that heals the sick, raises the dead, casts out the devil. That allows you to speak with new tongues so you can communicate with God on the God level. You see, there's things that my words cannot express. I was amazed as I began to notice there are some words in Italian that do not have a compatible verse in English. There are words in French that do not have a compatible meaning in the English language. There are words in Russian that cannot be translated word for word. They have to be translated in a phrase because that word has so much meaning, our language doesn't give it justice. If you've studied other languages, you know there are certain words that are specific to that culture that have to be explained, not just translated. That's the way tongues are. There's things the Holy Spirit can say through me in a heavenly language that I could never express in my native tongue. Because when you begin to express the grandeur of our God, Kenneth, there's some English words that just can't cut it. They can't get there. He is more gooder than my words will elucidate. Peter said, such as I own, possess, have stewardship of, I'm going to give that to you. And you can go make your own dollars and cents. What did Peter teach us in this moment? The authority we have been so freely given outdistance all the currency of the world system in just one application. Could that cripple have got enough money to be well?
No.
You're carrying in you something money can't buy. You're carrying something in you that will trump, pardon the presidential reference, everything the world has to offer. Because you can't get rich enough to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the devil, speak with a heavenly language, and be exempt from the ability of poison to hurt you. Because in that day and time, that was a number one way of getting rid of someone, was put poison in their food because, never mind that story, we'll for another time. And then the Lord said to me, do you have a piece of the rock? And I went, yes, I do. And I had looked at it, but years ago, Prudential used to always show the Rock of Gibraltar. And they would go, do you have your piece of the rock? Now, they were saying, do you have a piece of our insurance that covers you? But I want you to look at it this way. Do you have a piece of the rock that gives you assurance that I can do all things through the anointing? Our piece of the rock. Who is the rock? Exodus chapter 17, verse 6. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. From the very first time our Lord and Redeemer Christ was beginning to be given descriptions in our terms that we could identify with, he was established as the rock. Now, in theology, they'll teach you that this is a theophany, a pre-incarnate manifestation of the Christ. Because he was the rock. And it was prophetic. When Moses struck the rock, out of the rock poured water that satisfied the thirst of all of Israel. Now that rock is pouring forth, gushing forth, enough water that 1 to 3 million people could be satisfied. I mean, that was the first gusher in history. But when you understand prophetic presentation, our God was showing us that when the rock Christ Jesus was stricken at the cross, out of him would flow that raging torrent of living water that would then be in us. And out of your belly, when you receive your piece of the rock, shall flow a raging torrent of water. That's the gospel. The very day Phoebe became a born-again child of God, God put a piece of the rock in her, and that rock can gush forth miracles, signs, and wonders. It can gush forth answered prayer. It can gush forth a word that becomes golden apples on platters of silver that you drop into someone's life at the right moment and turn their life around because of what you said to them. James, this first appearance that we see of our Redeemer before his earthly walk perfectly portrays his earth walk. I will be smitten. When I am smitten, I will supply out of that smiting everything that everybody needs to satisfy. So our first introduction to the rock is supplying your need. Not giving you fire insurance to keep you out of hell or get you into heaven. The first thing that God paints to us on our rock is that it will supply your need. The children of Israel were in the desert. They needed water. Once he was smitten, he supplied their very need. Our rock supplies our need. Do you have your piece of the rock? Deuteronomy, the rock, his work is perfect. Now, we are not talking about a wrestler here. Although, as soon as I said rock, Asia began to think. This is a different rock. This is the real rock. For all his ways are just. There's not a crooked, deceitful, dishonest way in him. All the ways God does things are just. God will never dump on you. A God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. Oh, another picture of our rock. Psalms 118 says, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." He said when the religious system rejected the rock, that rock then became the foundation stone for the kingdom and the household of faith. David prophesied the rock who was to come, the one on which the church should be built. Matthew, Jesus said to them, "Did you ever read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected?" He's explaining to his disciples why the church community isn't his best friend. Why the church community has rejected him. He's saying, "Guys, I'm just fulfilling scripture. I am the rock. The religious order of the day has rejected me, but still God will use me to build a new church of the anointed Redeemer, Yeshua HaMashiach, up on." And I want to say just something that you've had me explain this to you before, but the word cornerstone is a Masonic term. All right. Not the Masonic Lodge of the Masonic Order, but Masons. A Mason would come to the job site where they had slave labor, and he would lay out how many cubits of building was to be. And then he would get a piece of stone, and we'd cut a piece of stone, and if you make 17 stones just like this one, it'll form the first layer of the perimeter. So the mason would perfectly cut a stone that if the slave labor then could just make their stones measure up to that stone. Oh, come on, church, I'm preaching. then every stone in that building would be exactly like the first stone, and every measurement would come out because the building was laid out based upon each stone being just like this, layer upon layer upon generation. Do we get it? Wanda, God Almighty cut the first stone and named him Yeshua HaMashiach, Redeemer, Anointed of God. In loose religion, we say Jesus Christ, but we know that was never his name. The angel said, you shall call his name Yeshua, Redeemer, for he shall redeem his people from their sins. He didn't say, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall Jesus people from their sins. His name never was Jesus. It's not Jesus. But yet God, in his great mercy, winks at our ignorance. When I go to Mexico, they call me Jaime. But I don't come home and go, me amo Jaime. Because that ain't my name. Not in this culture. They call me something else in France, but we won't discuss that now. But just because people refer to me in their vernacular with a different term doesn't change who I am. And so God allows people to call him Jesus Christ. But the word Christ that we have is literally the word fat. We have our term Crisco from it. Christ, meaning to anoint or to smear with fatness. So they made up a name for him when they were translating, because there wasn't a proper term to describe Yeshua HaMashiach, Redeemer Anointed of God. But when you say Redeemer Anointed of God, it takes on a totally different meaning than Jesus Christ. Some people say Jesus Christ like they think his first name was Jesus and his last name was Christ. But it wasn't Joseph and Mary Christ. His God-given name was Yeshua HaMashiach, Redeemer Anointed of God. And when you say it that way, you can't misunderstand his position and your access to his redeeming you from sickness. Psalms chapter 170, verse 20 has become one of my favorite verses. He sent his word, the rock, and healed me and delivered me from all my destructions. It doesn't matter what destruction I've earned by my doing something or failure to do something, he's delivered me from the paycheck of that thing that I did or might do tomorrow. So understand, I'm a born again child of God. I love the Lord. Touch a member of my family and I'll kill you. Because I got a promise, he'll redeem me from my destruction. So I can kill you and don't have to pay a penalty. It's already taken care of. He's saved, but he's just not that saved. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. And he who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. But on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust. Church, the rock that supplies your every need destroys the works of the Satan, destroys the works of the devil, destroys evil, because when they come to the rock, they get their comeuppance. But when you come to the rock, you get his blessings. Prophecies are fulfilled as our Lord becomes a chief example for us. Jesus said to them, did you not read in the scripture, the stone which the builders rejected. This became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, Jehovah, who gave you an example that you could all be like him. And it is marvelous in our eyes. God's plan for your growth and development is in line with the work of Messiah. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you, religious people, and given to a people producing the fruit of the kingdom. Are you producing what the rock wants to produce through you? Love, joy, mercy, kindness, gentleness. You know the fruit of the Spirit. And that it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold. The great God has made known to the king what will take place in the future. So the dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy. It doesn't matter what government, whether brass, bronze, steel, clay, whatever government is built on the earth that is not built upon it is written, the rock will crush it. Now then, I want to take a moment to say something to you. Through the years, I've said things to you and told you of things, and they have come to pass. Some of you remember when I told you buy copper, and you did, and copper went through the roof. Some of you were there in 06 when during a Sunday message, the Lord spoke through me and said, there'll become an economic downturn in 2008. Get liquid and be prepared for it. 2008 came. Some of you were ready for it. I know Lou and I got busy, and during the remainder of 06 and 08, we made about $300,000. So when, 06 and 07, when 08 came, we were in good shape. But what I didn't know was that at the end of 07, I was going to have a heart attack, spend 7 months in the hospital, and if I hadn't had a stack of cash in the bank, my wife would have suffered great loss because the hospitals start saying, we need $10,000 for this, we need $10,000 for that, we need $15,000 over here, we need $175,000. But you see, when you listen to God, you're ready for it. Now, I don't care what your political tendency is, if you're voting Democrat in the presidential election coming up, you're being used of the devil. Oh, Pastor, I'm offended. Well, grow up and get straight. You can't vote Democratic in the upcoming election for baby killers. Are you listening? Socialism. Lying, cheating, thieves. In 2011, God said Donald Trump will be president, and he wasn't even running then. Before it was ever even started, I told you that Donald Trump would be president, and people laughed at me and told me I was crazy because Bush will get it. He's got all the money and power behind him. I know one thing. God said. So when I tell you this, it's not about politics. If you're smart, you'll vote this time for Donald Trump. Why? Because God has chosen him to turn a nation around. But Pastor, he's not godly. He's not a spirit-filled believer. Neither was George Patton, but he kicked butt all over Germany so that we could be free. Amen. Neither was Douglas MacArthur, but he sent the communists running back into China and caused us to be free in the Pacific. Sometimes you need somebody that spits tobacco and smokes a pipe and doesn't get disturbed by smacking somebody down. If I'm going to war, I don't want a Billy Graham. I want a George Patton. I want a Douglas MacArthur. Now, I know I was named after Douglas MacArthur. My name is Jimmy after General Jimmy Stewart, and Douglas after General Douglas MacArthur. I was born from the beginning as a military brat. I was named after two generals. Yes, Jimmy Stewart was a general in the Air Force, and Douglas MacArthur was an Army general. They weren't sweet-talking. They were foul-mouthed. They carried unconventional weapons. And they did unconventional things, but they won wars for us. America's at war right now, whether you recognize it or not. And I'm more interested in somebody that'll kick butt and not take names than I am somebody that'll have prayer meetings in the White House. Are you listening? Ronald Reagan had prayer meetings in the White House while his wife Nancy held seances in the West Wing. Because Ronald loved the Lord, but he loved his lady, but he didn't love her enough to get that satanic influence out of her. So while we rejoice, Ronald Reagan had prayer meetings in the White House. Yeah, but Nancy was busy having seances and asking the devil for advice. Church, the good in Ronald Reagan won out over the bad in Nancy. To Daniel, God prophesied that our rock would destroy every kingdom that was ever raised up against it. Our rock came out of the mountain, meaning the government of God. He was hewn out of the rock. Our rock was hewn out of the mountain of God's government. For all the ages, for all nations and peoples, the authority of the rock is greater than any other force in the earth. So it doesn't matter what empire rises up, it falls before the rock. Just as it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed." He said, our rock is a rock of stumbling and a rock of offense for the world system, for the religious system, for Satan and his minions. But Judith, it's a rock I can climb up on. And Bob, when I climb up on the rock, I stand high enough to see above all the world's deceptions into God's counsel and into his ways. Now then, I told you some time ago that there would come a financial adjustment in the world system very soon. It's almost upon us right now as world currencies are adjusted, and the U.S. dollar will take a slight dive. But because we don't have a Hillary in the White House, we'll have a Donald Trump in the White House, the U.S. currency will recover from this dive and become the strongest currency on the face of the earth once again. Right now, the U.S. currency is the third strongest currency. And the fact that our currency is behind the yuan, that embarrasses me. But under this next presidential term, the U.S. dollar will once again become the strongest currency on the face of the earth. Why? Because it's the only currency on the face of the earth that says, "In God we trust." And if his name's on it, he'll defend it. So don't get excited when you see that financial dip coming. Look further ahead and know it's recovering, and it'll be stronger than ever before. Amen. Don't follow the advice of idiots who are saying, invest in New Zealand currency. Get all your money out of U.S. notes and get it into the yuan. Get it into New Zealand. Get it into Australian. No. Hold on. Uncle Sam is going to stand back up. Pastor, how do you know? Because God said so. And after 37 years of being told what God said, and you can't point out one time that I've ever told you God said something that it didn't come to pass. I don't have a prophecy every week. I don't have a word every service. But when I have a word, you can take it to the bank. Our rock is a stumbling stone for the world system. But church, climb up on that rock. And Nancy, from that vantage point, I can see clearly now. But to us who believe, he is the rock we build our lives on and build our lives to meet the same dimensions. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the devil, build the kingdom of God, occupy till he comes. Our rock is a source of our authority. He is the start of a new kingdom system of ruling and reigning in the earth. And the kingdom system will be established in the earth as a government before he returns. God is not sending Jesus back to rescue us before the Antichrist eats us. The Antichrist will be smitten before our rock. Now I ask you again today, from what we started, do you have your piece of the rock living in you? Yes. Pastor, how do I get a piece of the rock living in me? I start studying the new covenant, and I start writing down every promise he made. Every time the scripture says, in him, we have, through him, you write all those down, and in him we have authority. We have peace. We have power. We have ability. We have standing before the throne of God. We have seating at the throne of God. If you just go through the New Testament and start writing it down, everything that belongs to you because you have received the rock, pretty soon in your belly comes a fortress of power. And sickness knocks on your door. And before you even think about it, Derek, it starts flowing out. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the healed of the Lord. Sickness has no place in my life. Lying spirit of infirmity, get this trash off of my body. Amen. And then having done all to stand on that, stand. Yeah. Lou and I went through a period of nearly 2 years where I was living in a borrowed house because we couldn't afford to pay rent. I sold my jewelry collection. I sold my gun collection. When that period of lack started, I had 7 Cadillacs. You need a different one for every day of the week. By the time that 2 years was over, I was driving a borrowed Mazda rotary engine station wagon that wouldn't start most of the time. And when it didn't start, I'd borrow a bicycle. And I said to my wife one day as I climbing on a bicycle, going out of the driveway, wonder what the neighbors think. I used to have 7 Cadillacs, and here I am on a borrowed bicycle pedaling down the street. But I kept saying, my God supplies all of my need. And one day, when I was alone and crying out before God and saying, God, I gave it all up for the ministry. And God said, who asked you to? And my thinking changed. I quit being a suffering Christian. I ain't a suffering Christian. I'm an heir and joint heir with the anointed Redeemer. I'm a child of the King. I'm the blessed of the Lord. I will have what nobody else has. Amen. And I pastor the wealthiest group of people in the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. Our people have jobs where no one else has jobs. Raises when no one else has raises. Bonuses when no one else has bonuses. Our people have first-class living at discount prices. And I will continue to decree it over you until it comes to you. Because after that 2-year period, I've never been broke another day in my life. And I know what it is to make $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $70,000, $160,000 deposits at one time into my account, because once he taught me what being a joyful giver is all about, once he taught me that my God supplies all of my need, once he taught me that I will lack no good thing, I began to get joyful. That's why I get happy about giving to other people. Well, what if they don't give it back? Hey, all they can give me back is what I gave them. But God can do 20, 30, 60, 100-fold. How do you see the rock? As your personal possession? Well, Pastor Jim, I don't know if I could say I own the anointed Redeemer. If you're a child of God, you do. Because as He is, so are you in the earth. Well, praise God, someday when I get to heaven. No, today. In the stinky now and now. You're anointed of God. You can do all things through the anointing that infuses you with divine ability. Now, I want to stop for a second because a couple of people thought something when I said that, and I've got to correct your thinking. When I was a little chidren, and I started school, they taught me to read, to write, to do arithmetic, and a whole lot of other things. Did I change who I was? Or did I add to who I was? And once I became erudite, what changed about me? Was I still the same height, still the same weight, still the same hair color, eye color, still looked the same, but what was different? The knowledge I possessed. What translated me from being an idiot to being versed? The impartation of knowledge I received. What takes you from being a powerless Christian to being a powerful Christian? Oh, Brother Jim, I was in this Holy Ghost meeting, and I just started shaking all over, and just something came over me. Oh, shut up, fool. You don't deserve to walk in public. That'll wear off as soon as you get to the parking lot. First person cuts you off in traffic. You'll be speaking French. Parlez-vous français? Hope not. No, it is the knowledge you possess of the rock you possess to become like. It is God's pattern that the student become like the teacher. The way you get your piece of the rock is you take His word into you and it heals your stupid mind. It verses your untrained spirit. It causes you to become new in Him. And the more of the new covenant, I didn't say the Bible, I said the new covenant, Matthew 2, Revelation. The more of that you get inside you, the bigger your piece of the rock becomes. If you are not rocky yet, it's because you haven't allowed enough impartation of knowledge, or as the scripture says, the engrafting of the word that makes you produce a new fruit. You can go out to any old native pecan tree in Texas and cut the limb off at an angle and go over to a paper shell pecan tree and cut a limb off of it and come back and graft it to that native pecan tree, and all of a sudden that limb will begin to produce paper shell pecans. Big, nice paper shell being grown on a native pecan tree. You can graft roses. You can graft. I once was 30 foot underground in Fresno, California. A man with a shovel and a wheelbarrow started digging out because Fresno was so hot. He dug down 30 feet and dug out a parking garage. Then he dug out a restaurant. Then he put shafts of light from 30 foot down into it, and he planted an orchard. Well, actually, it's three trees, but on each tree, in the first one, there were seven different kinds of fruit growing on one tree. Because he had taken an orange tree and he grafted on tangerines, tangelos, all these different citrus fruits. And on one tree, there's seven different kinds of fruit growing 30 feet below ground level. It was a constant 72 degrees the year round. Now up on the surface is 122 degrees. But 30 foot down where this guy dug out to build a restaurant, he died digging out the restaurant. The restaurant never got built, but the parking garage is there, the rooms are there, the trees are there. And I got to looking at that one orange tree producing seven different varieties of fruit, 30 foot below ground level. Who'd have thunk it? But you see, you can't bury life deep enough that if it gets to the light, it won't grow. Oh, John, I just preached a whole sermon in one sentence. No matter who you are, what you've been through, once you get the light of the gospel in you, you can produce all the fruit of the kingdom, not just salvations. Grow beyond being Baptist. Grow beyond being Catholic and just repenting of sins. Grow beyond Baptist and just getting people saved. Get your piece of the rock and start getting people healed, getting people filled with the Holy Spirit, getting people raised from the dead, casting out devils, exercising coping stone ability because you've been made in His image. Do you have your piece of the rock? You start today by engrafting the rock through finding the promises that belong to you and making them your possession, taking ownership of your place in the kingdom of God. Father God, we've delivered your word today. And under the sound of my voice, giants are being raised up. Women and men who will lay hold of the gospel, begin to allow it to engraft into them the power of the kingdom. And they will heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the devil. They'll do exploits in your name. And they will establish the kingdom of God, system of government in the earth. And wherever they go, they'll bear the fruit of the essence of your presence. I call this people blessed, and whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. I decree that your blessings are upon them and their household. I curse and cast down every tongue rising against them in judgment. No word spoken against House of the Lord Fellowship Church, its staff, its leadership, its people shall stand. But every word contrary to your promise is broken, cursed, cast down, null and void of effect. We are the blessed of the Lord, and we focus on your promises to bring about our strength. And the people said,
amen.
You're loved, you're blessed, go with God.